Okay, we're holding over here. The topic of tonight's shiur, we're going to be discussing Lashon Hara and Shidduchim. Now, like many sugyas, I often undertake saying the shiur until I realize that it's not going to be accomplished in 1 week. This topic will not be covered in 1 week. B'li Neder, there will have to be a follow-up shiur. But because next week is the week before Tisha B'Av, I want to take a break and discuss Tisha B'Av and Yonim. So we're going to have another shiur following Tisha B'Av discussing these topics. Now, the truth is, as we're going to see throughout the shiur, it's not just Shidduchim. The question comes up in business world even more so. When talking about hiring people and using different people for the business world or for different jobs, caterers using different people in various settings of business world, what can you say and what can't you say? So we're going to try to get a handle a little bit this week. This week will be predominantly Shidduchim related, but to keep in mind that these shiles are not only Shidduchim. If you look in the Chafetz Chaim Sefer Shemesh Losh and Hilchos Bechilas Klal Tes, the first half is talking about business, and the end of it he talks about Shidduchim. But this is negay all the time. People ask, you know, can you suggest someone for me? Especially now in these chats we have, everyone's always looking for someone. So you suggest an electrician, you suggest this, a caterer, can you suggest this, that, and the other? And then that's when the floodgates open of Lashon Hara. He's no good, he's great, he's terrific, he's horrific. All different stories that come out, and people's parnasa can be lost, and vice versa. We're going to learn tonight that although we're so careful with Lashon Hara, sometimes maybe we should not be so careful because it's not Lashon Hara. Instead, we're going to allow our friend to set himself up for a disaster, and that's really the balancing act. So we discussed last week, very bekitzer, last week we discussed that there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, and that's brought down in Eben Ezer, that a child that's produced from a relationship with the mother and the father were not makben atayas mishpach, and the baby is what's called a ben nida, that baby is a pogum. There's something wrong with the baby. Of course, that baby can marry into kahuna, it can marry into klali, so there's no chesroinus in its yichus, but he's pogum, he's affected. So the question that we left off last week, and this is where we're going to start this week, do you have to let people know that for shidduchim? That's an example, classic example. You have a boy or a girl who now became from, their parents were not from, and they still might not be from. They're still not from. But you are a wonderful boy, and she's a wonderful girl. You went to yeshiva, you were shown the light of Torah and mitzvahs, terrific, wonderful, and now you're in the parashah of Shidduchim. Do you have to let Evishat Chonah? You should know, by the way, I'm probably a ben or bas nida because my parents aren't religious. And if my parents aren't religious, there's no reason to assume they kept Taras Mishpach. So we mentioned last week from Rav Moshe Feinstein that Rav Moshe Feinstein had this idea that you don't have to assume that the child is a ben nida. If the child, either boy or girl, is not showing character traits of a ben nida, because the ben nida, according to what's brought down, has certain midos that express this chesaron. They're not nice, they're mean, whatever it is. But if you have a child, a boy or girl, they're a wonderful boy, wonderful girl. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, in that case, you can assume it's not a ben nida. But let's say you know it is, right? Rav Moshe talked about cases where the mother might have went to the beach and she might have went in the water, and that's a tefillah, all that creative stuff. But let's say, for example, you know that's not the case. So there's a fascinating tshuva for Reb Zilberstein in the Sefer Chashukei Chemer HaMaseches Nida, where Reb Zilberstein was asked the following shaila. A story. Shaila, number one. Ma'aseh b'bas gedoylim mimishpachas admoirim ufusemes shebo lefnei rav v'sheilos v'pia. A daughter, a girl, who comes from a Rebbe family, she came with the following shaila. Listen to the shaila. Yesh lo ben mitzuyin begil hashiduchim. She has a son who's wonderful. Of course, every mother thinks their sons are wonderful. But okay, this guy is top-notch guy. This guy is the Mitzuyan. What happened? The Rabbi Machaz and Achav, and everyone wants him as a son-in-law. Beautiful, terrific. And there's one Rebbe who wants to take this boy as a son-in-law. Okay, sounds like a great story so far. Ulam hi yadash lefneshes abra. However, the mother of the boy knows there's something going on over here. What does the mother of the boy know? She knows a story. That what? That she went to the mikveh, he tavla v'shimsha. She went to the mikveh one time, and after she went to the mikveh, she was with her husband, like is normal. But, ulamachros is oiris safak al kashras atfila. The next morning, she had a shaila. Maybe she didn't do a good tefillah. Maybe she left earrings on. Maybe she left contact lenses and all these crazy shailas that do happen, believe it or not, which perhaps made the tefillah not kosher. If the tefillah was not a kosher tefillah, she's still a nida. So now this lady, and she asked the shaila the next morning, and they told her she has to go to the mikveh again. So now this lady's all nervous. She has no idea when her son was born. Was her son born from the incorrect bia, the first bia? Or was her son born from any of the post-bias, which were all done kedas kedin? And we have no way of knowing. So she was nervous, and he explains in her shaila, she says, I'm doubly nervous, because I know Rebbes are very machban on something like this. No Rebbe would take for a son-in-law someone who's a benida. So I can't say with certainty that his baby is not a benida. I don't know when he was conceived. So she says, on top of that, this is a financial shayla. Why? He says, because people pay big nedunyas, big dowries for such a boy. If this family would know that he's maybe a benida, I don't know if they'd give such big money. So what should I do? This was the shayla that Reb Zilberstein deals with. Fascinating shayla. So he goes through a lot of what we discussed last week. How does this pogum work? Does it get passed down to generation? The whole shebang. And he writes at the end, Nirish Einan Chayav Nasaper. You do not have to tell the boy, the prospective girl's family, that he might be a ben nid. Why, says Reb Zilberstein? First of all, roiv bias. This only happened once. It was only the first bia after she went back from the mikvah was questionable. Then she went to the back the next day and she fixed everything. So just from a statistic standpoint, says Reb Zilberstein, you go after the roiv. Now again, this won't help for Bali Tshuva. This won't help for a couple that you know every time they were together, they never were makbun ataras mishpacha. And the second answer is, shalachola yoyse hoyse nida drabbanim. She says, at worst, what type of nida was this woman? It was a questionable tefillah, she only needed drabbanim.
It was only a suffix, though, right?
It was a suffix. Well, I don't know the story. It doesn't say why the rabbi made her go back to the mikvah the next time. I don't even know if she made a bracha. Was the rabbi so convinced that what she did was taka, not a tefillah? You know, I wanted to, again, it doesn't say in the storyline. Did she make a bracha when she went back? If a taka was not a tevila, then she'd have to make a bracha. So then sometimes the rabbanim say, well, we're not really sure. So, safik brachas lahaka. I don't know. But he's assuming that it's a nida derabbanan. Now again, many of our women might also be a nida derabbanan. Every lady might be a nida derabbanan today, arguably in the sugya of hilchas nida. But that was his psak. He thinks that's okay. But Moshe Sternbuch discusses the more common case. He writes, Sheila, benay bas balei tshuva. Typical case. Zilberstein's case was more creative because he had the element of roiv. But says Moshe, someone asked Moshe Sternbuch straight up, what do you do with balei tshuva? Children that are from balei tshuva, v'heina b'nei nida, there is no question. They are children of nida. The parents have never kept taras mishpacha. They still might not be religious. And even if they did become religious, they became religious after the kids were born. So all the entire, there's no question these kids came from ben nida. So Reb Moshe Feinstein said, no, they didn't, because look at their character traits. If their character traits show you not, so you have to assume some fancy teretz of how they went to the mikvah. So the question was, do you have to tell the other side? Do you have to tell the other side for Shaduchim that they're... Okay, now, if you're going to date a girl, or you're going to allow your child to date someone from a... You have to know that this is an option. It's a funny shayla. Do you have to let them know? You only have to let them know if they were Bali Tshuva and the parents were also Chayzi B'Tshuva. Meaning, if the parents are not religious now, so then obviously, if you have to know that. If you know Aleph Beis of anything, you know that there's a strong possibility, or probably, they're Ben Rei Bas Nida, and therefore you care or you don't care. The only shayla is, you don't always know who's a Bali Tshuva today. You know, people became Baal Tshuva in the middle of their life. You don't know what they were doing for the first 20 years. So do you have to let people know in Shaduchim, by the way, although now we look like regular frum from birth, we weren't always. We became frum when the kids were older. And I'm letting you know, these kids were conceived under the status of nidus. Do you have to let them know? Very fair question. And I'm sure it comes up all the time. So Moshe Sternbuch's answer is, he says like this, Isa b'gemar she ben nidu pogum gadol. The Gemara says that a ben nidu is a pogum. It's something. But according to the Chazanish, you can get rid of that pagam if you do the right thing. If you're shoyim your Torah mitzvahs properly, that washes away the pagam. So he says, if they have other things going for them, if they have everything else going for them, he's a wonderful boy and she's a wonderful girl. The only thing that's held accountable is the fact that their parents weren't machmir and taras mishpacha. Says Moshe Sternbuch, that's not a reason to nix a shidduch, like we saw last week as well. And then he writes, v'chene iru. This is a great line back. I think it's very true. Says Moshe Sternbuch, one second. How frum is the other side? And we're assuming, well, the side that wasn't from, oh, they, but the other side, oh, they were Haredi, so they must have been from. He says, there's a lot of other things you can do in the religious world that also make you a pogum. You can't always get, you know, that perfect kid that has no pachsrenos all the way down. And how can you say that your family is so perfect? No one in your family all the way up? Maybe, let's say, for example, you're not. You're shoyim Torah mitzvahs. But you had grandparents that weren't. Right? You had grandparents that were raised at a different time. They weren't makban on nidus. So you know what? If you hold that pagam gets passed down, so you're in the same boat as everyone else. And then he says, I would add, there's plenty of people today that were raised in frum circles, went to yeshivas, went to chasana kala classes, and still don't know the alephes of al chasnida. And still possible they could be having a ben pogum or a bas pogum. So let's put that aside, says Moshe Demek. Let's not hold that over anyone's head, such a cheshb. And then he says, Lachin Ledaiti, my opinion is, him achshav kshem, if right now the boy and girl look terrific, ain't certainly yayit l'tzadashen, you do not have to tell the other side, limnoyim mehashidduch l'sabish ahoyim heim balichuva, v'ulam habonim b'nedin, that does not need to be notified to the other side. And then he says another comment which we really mentioned last week. He writes, he says, because if we're dealing with a child who's a pogum, look into that person. If that person is showing signs of flawed midas, maybe you should stay away from it. And then he quotes from the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav said, even though Eliezer knew Baruch HaKadosh that Rivka is the right match, he still needed to see her midas. Because without that, the shidduch doesn't get off the ground. You got to make sure a person has good midas. And he says that's true for any girl. This we really mentioned last week. Every girl and any girl, no matter what her yichus, her background, her pedigree is, the first thing you want to make sure is she has midas. So Moshe Sternbach wasn't concerned. He passed him the halacha ma'isa. You need not tell the other side. However, there are achrenim who disagree. The Minchas Yitzchak, Dain Weiss, disagrees. He thinks, as we mentioned last week from Reb Shmuel Vosner, he thinks, no, you have to notify the other side. You have to tell him, by the way, I'm letting you know, he's a pogum. You do what you want with that information. You might say, I don't care. You might say, well, I have my own skeletons, but you have to let them know. He writes in his tshuva, in number three, he says, Omnam halacha l'maisa, shaper kasav agayin of Shmuel Vosner. He says, I think like Reb Shmuel Vosner, who we photocopied last week, who writes, Ein la halim ayin me ikar halacha d'yishpikam. You can't deny the fact. This is the halacha. The halacha is, the Gemara says, this is something wrong with the baby. Now, you want to overlook it because he's got everything else going for him? That's your business. But I have to at least notify you what the deal is. You have to let them know this. You could tell them, because if they don't care, it might be a wonderful shidduch. It's not a deal breaker. The father may say, okay, I'm okay with that. Therefore, he thinks he has to write it. Then he says,
notify the father of the bride or the chassan or the kallah, or is it somebody, a neighbor? Like if I haven't to do it,
so we're going to learn, hopefully, in 2 weeks from now, the less amount of people involved is always better. I mean, this is why many Rabbanim write, if there are flaws that need to be, don't go through the Shatchan. Why does the Shatchan have to know that? It's irrelevant for the Shatchan to know. You'll tell me, oh, for future references, okay, maybe. But the amount of people we can limit knowing is best. So you can try to do it in a way. It would only just be the parties that need to know.
I have a chiyuv, in other words, I'm an outsider. I happen to know the guy. I don't want to offer my two cents.
So that's what we're going to get in 2 weeks. We're going to talk about what your job, a little bit today, what's your job as a bystander versus if you're asked specifically about this topic. We'll hopefully get to that. So I would say with Pogum, I would just let them know. Well, first of all, I don't think there's any, something like Pogum, you can only say, I really have no idea. Something like a Ben or Bas Nida, it's easier to say, like, I really have no idea what goes on in their private life. That's, again, it's not even Sheker, it's really true. You know, for example, many times people ask about Shalom Bais. So the answer you're supposed to say is, I really have no idea what goes on in their house. And it's true. We really have no idea what goes on in people's homes. The problem is we like to think we know. And once we think we know, we like to give our two cents. The best is ignorance is bliss for this halacha for sure. So according to Menachas Yisrael, you have to let him know, as does Reb Shmuel Vosd. Okay, so, yeah.
He says,
they'll be, he says, Ad Kan Dvarav. He says, they'll be okay. Let the party know, and they might, the shidduch might work out. This is not a deal breaker. We'll talk, either this week or 2 weeks from now, Mr. Hashem, of deal breakers, where Achrayim say, no, this is a deal breaker. You gotta let the other side know. We'll talk about some of them this week more, the week after Tisha B'Av, Mr. Hashem. But there are some things, this is not a deal breaker, because it's not anything really intrinsically wrong. Now, I'm not aware of too many parents say, well, if I would have known he's a pogum, I wouldn't have taken for a son-in-law. I don't know how many people know that a ben nida is a pogum. It's not one of those deal breakers because I don't think enough people know that it's a deal breaking deal. We'll have to blend that to get into some of those things that are clear deal breakers that are relevant to know. What we're going to talk about now is those things that you could, I don't like to say the word lie, but there's an interesting area, la halacha, where you could be a little bit more, broaden the truth. We'll call it that. There's a Gemara in Baba Basra number 4. It says the Gemara is referring to Eev. And the pasuk says, V'lev almona arnin. And I would make the hearts of almonas happy. How do you make the hearts of an almona happy? So the Gemara says, "Tchol hecha da havi almona." Whenever there was almona, tchol havi nasbila that no one wanted to marry, havi ozel shodi shmei aloi. He would throw his name on her, havi ozel nasbila, and everyone wanted to marry her. What does that mean? So Rashi, it's still Rashi in this part of Baba Basra. Rashi doesn't switch over till later on in the Masechta. This is still Rashi. What was Eev saying? I'd make almanas happy because if no one wanted to marry them, I'd throw my name on them. What does that mean? So Rashi has a pshat over here. Shayesova, or the Rashi, Shadi Shmei Alei, Omar Shehi Krevoisoi. You could say we're related. Everyone's always looking for yichud. Yeah, you're related to me. Why not? You're related to me. So that's the second pshat. I medaber bo lasi anayit. Convince them. But what's Rashi's first pshat? I would kind of embellish the truth. We're not really related to everyone. Yes, I know, Klal Yisrael, Arev Mzel, we all know the drushes. But when someone asks, are you related to him? You don't mean in that sense. You mean, Teretz says, Eov thought that that's permitted. Why? Because on Manas we have to bend over backwards to help them get married. Says in the Sefer, Titid Emes Liakov, don't confuse with the Sefer Emes Liakov, written by Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. This is a terrific Sefer, Titid Emes Liakov, but he just quotes from a bunch of different people. And he says the following story. It says a story to Shlomo Bloch, who was a Talmud Muvik of the Chofetz Chaim. Shepam Karish Shidchu Yisayim in Bacher Ben Torah. There was a Shidch that was raised, that was brought up to a Yisayimah with a regular yeshiva boy. And any good Shadchan has to know how to make the deal sound better. So he told her, you should know, he told the yeshiva boy, you should know this girl, she's a relative to the Chofetz Chaim. Oh, that's a gishmak already. There's yichas. Yeah, 100%. We're relatives. They asked the family. They said, we never heard of this girl. She's not a cousin. This was all part of trying to get Yisrael married off. If this is going to be the deal breaker, then I'm going to go out. If they don't hear this, fine. So the Chofetz Chaim was borrowing this idea from the Gemara and Baba Basra. Sometimes you can fudge the truth a little bit and say something which is not perhaps 100% emes la'amitai, but in order to marry off at least an almana v'yisayim. Now the question is, well, how far do we go with this? How many times do we say in Shidduchim, if this little stupid thing, the parties were able to overlook, they'd actually be able to go out and meet each other and they might actually like each other? So the best that I can find, and could be there are others, I don't know, they say over here that... In number 7 in Tidem Sliyakov, he quotes over here, Shemati Mishadchen, Rav Mordechai Shvitzer Shlito, Shoshama Piv Shal, Rav Pinchas Epstein. Rav Pinchas Epstein was the head of the Eidah Haredis in Eretz Yisrael. He says, Delesheke Bedov Yisoidi, to lie about something fundamental, something very important, like, you know, there's really, you know, $8 billion in a trust fund for you when you get married, right? That's something pretty big, maybe, I don't know, depends on you ask. K'may Brios B'Shaduchim, like health. And that's, we'll talk about Blineda one of these weeks, you know, lying about health and not disclosing various health issues. That's a big deal. Let's say age. I will not date a girl who's X and Y age. Okay? So she's not that age. She's a different age. He thinks mutar lishanas b'kamashanim. You can fudge the truth a little bit for how old they really are. And he writes, "Olamayis the pasuk Rabbein are going to be Yisrael Yaakov Fisher, famous dying Fisher in Eretz Yisrael. Tiyesh lahatev l'shanas b'chiyagavne l'chol misha hoylech lo kosher b'shiduchem aliba nishba b'kirboy." They want to say, "What's pshat in the Gemara and Baba Basra Almana?" That's someone, and Almana was an example of someone who's having a difficulty in shiduchem. Yisoyma was the case of the Chafetz Chaim. Said the dying Fisher, anyone who's having a hard time in shiduchem, an older single or anyone that has other difficulties in shiduchem, you're allowed to fudge the truth a little bit if it's something that's not fundamental. Now, how far does this go? So if you look at number 8 in Titan Emes
Liak... Does this go for boys also?
Yeah. We'll see in a second.
We'll see in a second.
V'shalti yesagayin b'yaytiv liyashiv. I asked liyashiv. V'oymer, and he said, the matir rak shine katan. Can only make a small change. T'haynu imhi bas esrim, if she's 20, yachaloy imhi bas teisha esra, you can say she's 19. Avaloy yoysim is there. So Rabbi Yashiv thought there's a cutoff. You know, you can't say, well, she's really 29, but we're going to say she's, 20. That's too far. Rabbi Yashiv thought 1 year is the cutoff. Okay. V'shalti agreed if Shem Zalman Orbach, and then I asked Shem Zalman, for us, the Bezal Hashanah, I've seen a cut. Shem Zalman said, no lying. If she's 20, she's 20. She's 19, she's 19. None of these games. Avo Shemati, but the fellow who wrote the Sefer said, but I heard, Maisi Shahaya, Shehit agreed if Shem Zalman, Lashanah, Slabacher, Mi Boiger, Mi Kabashan, Mishasat Chak. But he did allow it. So the answer is you have to know the situation. If the situation is, maybe Rav Shlomo Zalman thought it was different. Vakol lefi ha'inyan. Everything depends on the situation. Then he quotes from Rabbi Yamin Zilber, that's the Oznidberu. Also, oidois l'shanes b'inyan shidduch b'negeil agil pashen u'da'asar mashaderech l'hakpid. He says, depends what people care about. That's really what Rabbi Yashiv was saying also. He thinks that 1 or 2 years no one really cares too much about. It's going to be a significant amount of time, 3, 5, 7, whatever that number is going to be, then it's a problem. Again, we're going to talk about that in a few minutes, about that distinction. Here, it sounds like we're just trying to get the ball rolling, because without that, the ball's never going to get off the ground. But Moshe has such a svara like that. Other Achareim talk about this little stupid thing.
But
if
that day would be a chiddush, why one of the rabbanim won't allow that. In other words, to give you an opportunity to go on that day.
Right.
So do whatever you have to do.
That's usually what we say.
That you go ahead and level the playing field.
Right, the question is, do you ever have to disclose that it's not true?
Right.
That's what we're going to have to get to at some point. If you ever have to say, you know, I'm letting you know. You know, you're going to collect Social Security before me, or vice versa, whatever it is. So they say about another story from Rebaran. For Ovdu Shaman Mishnei Tamidei Chacham Shehita Gan Rebaran Kadla LeBachar Shahayu Begil Shloishim L'Shanayis V'Loi Meshuhu Ben Esrim Mushmoina. He's 30, you could say he's 28. So you see from the Paiskim that there is a little bit wiggle room, a year or two, whatever it is. So next time you see a shidduch resume, take it with a grain of salt. Because it says he's X years, she's Y years, it could all be lav dafka. Now again, I don't think it's kedai to make it 5-7 years off, because I think that's already too much. But you see from the poskim that there's a little bit of wiggle room with regard to something that's insignificant like age, that's something you can perhaps not disclose. If it's something that's really setting everyone back, that's something you could perhaps not disclose. Now, one more story, 8b, with the Chazinish. Made in the Chemia Becker Shlita, 8b, it's on the left side. Sorry, it got a last minute addition. HaChazinish, Hayim Unin, the Poel, Abor Shidduch Mesuyim. The Chazinish was busy trying to make a Shidduch. Vishalach Oisi La'odam Pleni Shesav, Shesham Yuchel Lekabel Oitza. I was the middleman, says this Nehemiah Becker. Sha'alti, Ma Egid Lechishal Oisi Al Gilu Shalbach. What should I answer? And they asked me about his age. Shayib Buger Begil Chavav, he's already 26. Finally, Tagish Ben Chavdalad. Said the Chazinish, tell him he's 24. Ki hu kvar niyeh ben chavdalad. He once was 24. That's how long this is. He once was 24. Now he's 26. Okay, so whatever that means. So the Chazinish, Rebbe Eliashiv, many gedolim seem to be of the opinion. I have no idea if this is what goes on today rampantly in the Shidduchim. Everyone's lying about tradition. I have no idea. But this is definitely something that at least has mokim to be makel in the paiskim within a certain realm of normalcy, that there is room to perhaps embellish the exact truth of the age. Now, at Gemara Baba Basra, where he used to say that everyone's my relative, okay. Even though that's not really true. It's technically versus honestly, things like that. Now, why is it so complicated about what you can say and what you can't say? Besides, so obviously we know there's an Issur Lashon Hara, that's on one side. But what's the other side of the equation? What's the impetus to tell that you think there's something wrong in a shidduch? No, that's Mizbeh Sheker Tirchah is the only offering. That's only if you're asked, you can't lie. But what? So there's a Gemara which we spoke about quite a few times when we discussed the sugya of organ donation. We spoke about this Gemara, famous Gemara. The Gemara says in number 9, the time we looked at the price, minayin l'royas chaveu shutava benar. If a person sees his friend drowning in the river, now again, this means you know how to swim and help him. If you are not savvy in swimming, then we spoke about the shayla, putting your life in danger for someone else's life in danger doesn't make too much sense. Oy chaya gari rasei, or wild animals attacking him. Oy listen boy in love. You're watching, your friend is about to get attacked. They're setting him up down the block to be mugged. So Zagdi Gemara Shu Chayiv Latzil, you have to save him. Tamaloyimet says in the Torah, Leisamer al Damrech. You're not allowed to stand by and watch your friend be hurt. Now, Pashup Shat in the Gemara, it would assume that we're talking about physical ailments. It doesn't say anything about his money. You can't let your friend get hurt. So if he's going to do something that's going to hurt him, you must step up and get involved. Now, this means you have to actively get up, get involved. This means you can't just be passive, and if they ask me, I'll say something. You have to do something. But pashas from this Gemara, it only sounds like it's in the issue of pikuach nefesh. Let's say, for example, I'm watching my friend make the worst business investment of his life, because he has no idea what he's doing. He got money from a friend, and he's investing it poorly. I don't have to get involved. That's not like Samra Adam Recha. Samra Adam Recha is if he's about to jump off a bridge, I got to step in. Okay. That might be true also. But just as this Gemara, we don't have a Raya, Pashtus. However, the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam writes, quotes a Sefra. He writes this in number 10 on the bottom of the left corner. Loshen Sefra, Minayim Shema'atu Yedei Le'edis. Let's say you know testimony about a court case, but you're not interested in showing up to court. She'inata Reshai Lishtuk, you are not allowed to keep quiet. This is beyond the Gemara. The Gemara was talking about you're watching your friend die, so you have to get involved. Here, let's say you know there's a court case to Reuven and Shimon, and you have great information that can either sway to Reuven or Shimon. But I'm not interested. I wasn't called up by the lawyers. I'm just not getting involved. Says the Rambam, quoting a Sifra, that you have to get involved. So you see already that the Rambam is broadening Leisam Adam Recha to not just be Pikuach Nefesh. The assumption is this court case doesn't have to only be Pikuach Nefesh, it could be a Chesh Mishpah question. And yet the Rambam writes, getting involved is required under the ban of Leisam Adam Recha. Says the Chafetz Chaim in the Sefer Shmir Saloshan, he writes in number 11, maybe it'll be a bigger Lamden, and you'll tell me, don't bring me a Rai from that Rambam. That Rambam is Al Sichas Eidus. You're a witness. A potential witness has a chiv to go into Bezdin and testify. I'm not anybody. I'm sitting on the side and I'm watching these two people be suggested for a shidduch, and I know it's a disaster because he's got skeletons and she's got bigger skeletons, and if each one knew the skeletons, they'd run the other way. But I'm not an aid. That's not etus. I'm not brought to a court. So the Chafetz Chaim, that's not a time. He writes in number 11, V'gam ze'in l'tchaz. Don't try to disprove me by telling me that this Rambam is not a raya that you have to get involved. Now again, the Chafetz Chaim first discusses business ventures. Let's say you're watching your friend make a horrific business decision. He's about to hire or go into business with a guy who you know is a crook. So you're going to just sit back, let him say, oh, listen, what's the classic line? Let him make his mistakes, he'll figure it out. We all made mistakes and we figured out all these types of lines that people use today, says the Chafetz Chaim. That's not true. If you're watching your friend make a mistake like that, you must get involved. I wisdom the Makar. Says the Chafetz Chaim, because we learn it from this Sifra. The Sifra is not talking about regular people on the street, it's talking about going to Bezin. Says the Chafetz Chaim, it doesn't matter. The Gamze in Litcha is the Hasam Atam Kdei Sheyar Olav Bezin. Don't tell me the whole Sifra was the Din in Haidos Bezin. Ubezin Lo Yishach Rechila, this is Lo Shon Haram Bezin. What are you going up against? Once you walk into the court of law, all rules of Rechilas are off. But over here, you call me up for advice, I'm bound by the rules of Rechilas. Says the Chafetz Chaim, Avo Shalei Bezin Loi, this is Einoi. The Kibun Gil Salonu. Once I learned from this Sifra that included in my Samad Adam Rechaz do not allow my friend to make a financial blunder, now I know the Torah is telling me I don't want you to sit back and allow your friend to make financial errors. You have to step up and get involved. By doing so, there'll be rechilas. Fine, we'll learn how and when you're allowed to say it. But right off the bat, you are allowed to get involved. And Nachrenim say, if you have to get involved for a financial kosher, you have to get involved, you're going to ruin someone's life. If you know about a shidduch that's going to ruin either party's life, and we'll talk about the scenarios, you have to get involved. I lashon hara rechilas. There is no lashon hara rechilas in such a situation. Now, that's the hakdama to the sugya. We have to figure out all the nitty gritty cases, but this is the hakdama. What?
How could you determine what the move?
That's part of the problem. One of the rules we'll see b'neda chavetz chaim has five rules for when it's mutter to give over, you know, harming information. And one rule is you have to know that this is really bad. Who said it's bad? Because you don't like it. Maybe, you know, someone called me up last week, they wanted to know, do they have to disclose that the father sat in jail? In some communities, that's a perk. Some communities, that's a chesaron. I'm saying, I'm being very honest, you have to really know your cases. For some people, that's the crowd they run in. It's not a chesaron. Again, to me, that's not the way I was understanding things, but you have to know the crowd. You know, let's say, for example, they talk about some of these things that you care, but lav davka they care, and you're putting your feelings in where it's not relevant. So you have to just know, and that's one of the rules of Chavetz Chaim writes Mefurish. You have to know for sure that it's taka bad for everyone, all parties, and everyone considers it bad. I didn't put it on the sheet, but we'll get to it in 2 weeks. Let's say you know the boy smokes. The girls don't smoke so much in our communities. Let's say you know the boy smokes. So some families, they don't care because the father smokes and the brothers smoke, or they have a very open idea about drinking and smoking. So why are you going to go around saying anything? They don't care. It's not a chesaron for them. So you have to just know your crowd before you start giving information. Make sure it's an intrinsic ra. If it's an intrinsic ra, so then it's something that's going to be a problem. The Sefer HaChasidim writes the following line in number 12. Lo yichasa odom mum b'nei beisai. You are not allowed to cover up mumim in your family. Im tzrichim banov ekroivim lezdavig if your kids need shidduchim. You know, I'll just not tell anyone. I know my kid has X and Y wrong with them because they're my kid. I know all their problems and all their flaws. I'm just not going to tell anyone. Says the Sefer HaChasidim, that's not permitted. You are not allowed to cover up these things. If they have certain ailments, why? Because you're setting yourself up for a disaster. You're not going to tell the other side that they have ailments, physical ailments. We're going to put aside what the ailments are because the spectrum is very large. You can have terminally ill, which we'll see tshuvas about. And then you can have things that are not so extreme. Let's say, for example, we'll talk about this b'neder. Let's say they suffer from heartburn, migraines. These are ailments, serious ailments, but most people are not going to say no to a shidduch because they have, you know, acid reflux or they have migraines. Mitzat Sheni, we'll talk about a case later today where, let's say, for example, the girl cannot have children. That's a pretty big deal. Right? Most men want to know that. So says the Sefer HaChassidim, he doesn't differentiate. We're going to get to mental health, where exactly in the spectrum it fits. We'll talk, it's going to be, again, not for this year. This year is really akdama to the following year, but we'll try to break it down. One of the big ones now is anorexia. That's a big one today. Big one today. Eating disorders. Very, very big. Pill taking. Many people are taking lots of medication today. ADD, ADHD, all the different pills, medications. Very, very complicated. What can be said, what can't be said. But the Sefer HaChassidim, again, this is merely an intro. Sefer HaChassidim writes, any mum that you know about your children, you must, because you're setting yourself up for disaster. What's going to happen? They're going to get married, they're going to have children, and the husband's going to find out one day, and all of a sudden, Kedushe Tos. They say over a story where a lady didn't want to tell her husband that she had, what was it, diabetes, which the Paiskim say you have to tell. Especially in a woman, because it comes out often in pregnancies and it's affected in the pregnancy. And it was somehow it affected the child, and they didn't want anyone to know. So they never told the kid that he also has problems. So what happened? The kid one time had an episode in yeshiva, and Hatzalah had to come down, and the school got involved. So the whole thing backfired. They thought they're going to keep it a secret from the whole society because they never told anyone. The whole thing backfired. Now the whole school knew, and the yeshiva and the Hatzalah had to come down and became a big deal. So sometimes they say disclosing it beforehand to a small group will help you from having to disclose it later to a large group. But that's the opinion of the Sefer HaChassidim. The Sefer Pischei Tshuva, an Or HaChaim, he writes a very, very strong statement. And this is really, like, should be posted on the intro to the sugya of Shidduchim and Lashon Hara. And he writes like this. Re'isi lahaskipo, I think it's worth mentioning over here, he writes, Asher akol ha-sifrei musar hirishu ha-oilam alovin Lashon Hara. All the musar svarim scream and yell that we should be makran on Lashon Hara. Va'anoichi ma'arish ha-oilam lahepuch. I want to scream the other way. Avoin godol mizeh. I have a bigger problem. V'gam hu motzi yoisevu minias atzmei bildab b'mokam anitzorech. When you should talk and you don't talk. When there's a business dealing and you keep your mouth shut, well, I'm not allowed to say anything, and people's lives are ruined. Derech Moshe. You see your friend setting up to attack him on the road. You're watching him, he's digging a hole to come under your house to attack you. In your store. You're not going to tell your friend because it's Lashon Hara? That's what the Gemara says. We said this by Gedalia. Gedalia ben Achikam didn't want to hear that there was someone looking to kill him, that Yishmael was out to kill him. And the Marsha writes over there based on the Gemara that was a tain on him. Do your research. I didn't say believe him, but research. Not to want to hear is a mistake. And that's what led to the whole disaster over there. So he says also, you're not going to listen? So that's one case where someone's out physically to harm you. So I'd like to believe in Klai Yisrael. We don't have to worry so much about a guy waiting behind the corner to smack you with a bat. I hope. Wishful thinking. But if it's a question of mominess, it's Pashad HaShavas Aveda. If I have to return an object that you lost, Kosh can have to make sure you don't lose it in the first place. That's part of HaShavas Aveda. Vata. Mali Choyte Machteres. Ayishiroi Mishoris of Gain Vimenu. Says, let's say I watch workers steal from you. Oh, I'm not allowed to say anything. Lashon Hara, I'm not allowed to say that your workers are stealing from you. Or I'm watching your partner's ripping you off. I'm watching it. He's ripping you off. Or your friend is selling you a worst product in the world and you're buying it. You're about to lend money to a guy and you're a big, wonderful guy. I know good and well he's never going to pay you back. So I'm just going to sit back and watch? Gotta get involved. Chenu binyani shidduch. For your day show, who ish ra? Guy's bad. Whatever that means. Ubeliel v'ralas chasidim. It's bad to be married to him. K'moy b'chlal, shav esevei gufa memoinoi. You gotta get involved. V'ata eilonu hageda v'agvulim at poi t'dabe v'leyosev. V'chlal b'zeh shadova mosel l'leiv. Im kavanos l'raso echad. You have to know, this is one of the rules of the Chofetz Chaim as well. You have to make sure that when you are giving over this information, you're not doing it to hurt this other person. That's an example. You know information about a boy that is important to know. But you also can't stand the guy. He's annoying and he rubs you the wrong way. So you probably are not the one to give over that information. And it's got to be completely lishma. I love the guy. He's my next door neighbor, best kid in the world. But everyone has to know that he's a drug addict. They have to know. He's whatever. He smokes marijuana, whatever the case may be, which we'll have to talk about. But it can't be that it's coming from a hatred place. Avum kavanos l'toivas hasheni l'atzilo v'lishomrei hu mitzvah rabba. It's a mitzvah. You're saving the guy's life. So this is the balancing act that people have in Shidduchim. On one hand, we like to be makbid on Lashon Hara Rechilas. On the other hand, we have to help people. And there's a flip side. You don't want to ruin the other person also. If you're going to go around saying X and Y has this flaw, forget it. They're done. They're never going to get a sheikh in this town. So it's a very difficult balancing act between I want this guy to do well. I don't want to ruin his or her future, but I don't want to give them a situation where they're going to come back later and say this is the worst thing that ever happened to me. Yes.
Meaning like the first day. What's
good. So we're going to see Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe.
Wait till it works.
That's Rav Moshe's famous tshuva that we're going to get to. He laid it out for us. Now, one last bit of intro and then we'll make one more intro. The Ma'bit writes the following line, number 14. And this, Reb Zilberstein throws in almost every one of his tshuvas when he talks about what to say for Shidduchim, he throws in this Ma'bit. So he feels it's important, so I'm assuming it's important as well. He writes like this. Also, l'ramis b'mekuch u'memkar. You are not allowed to trick people in business. The gnevas das nami nira da'havi da'iraisa. Gnevas das, fooling them. That's what gnevas das means. You don't know something that I know. So I'm going to tell you, this girl, she's fantastic. She has no skeletons in the closet. And you know she's got tons of problems, or vice versa on the boy. That's gnevas das. That's nisa da'iraisa. So now, we have a very difficult balancing act over here. On one hand, we have the Isser Gnevas Das. On the other hand, we have Loisam Adam Recha. On the other hand, we have Lashon Hara Rechilas. How exactly are we supposed to navigate our way through this entire mess? The answer is very carefully. That's a simple answer. Very carefully and with rabbinic guidance all the way through. Whatever we're going to discuss this week in Mr. Shem, the next year, everything should go through a competent Rav who's really holding in these sugyas because they're very complicated and everything is different. And you need people also, not Stam Rabbanim, no Shochar Rabbanim, no people, no society, no the culture. You got to make sure you're asking the right people these very, very complex shots. So we'll start off with the stipler. Now, usually we don't quote stiplers on Tuesday night shurim. It's usually more for the Sunday morning shir. But this is a very interesting stipler in Yevamis, Simen Mem Dal. The stipler discusses the following shaila. Now you have to remember, the stipler by and large wasn't really a Pesach. That really wasn't his thing. He was a very big Talmud Chacham, but he wasn't a Pesach like Rabbi Eliashiv. That wasn't his thing. He was more of just, he taught Torah. But he was asked the following shaila. Ached shemachmas choyle notle mimena arefim esabeya hasmo'olis. He had one of his testicles removed. His left testicle. But he's allowed to join Klal Yisrael. So Shaul Ptsua Daka, is he allowed to become married to a Jew? He's allowed to marry a Jewish girl. That's not the problem. Based on a Rabbeinu Tam and a Sefer HaTruma, the Lahalocha Kosher Bebeya Achas, Ubitziv Shittas HaRambam, they put together a Rambam Shittas, says that Yidei Choyle Kosher B'Dei Shemayim, since it was done, I couldn't control it, he had an ailment, it's not his fault, fine. So Reb Chaim Volozhin, the whole shebang, everyone allowed him to marry a Jewish girl. That's not the Shaila. What is the Shaila? Does he have to tell the girl beforehand? He's allowed to marry Jewish, no problem. It's similar to the pogrom shaila. You can marry anyone you want, but you have to disclose this bit of information. That was the shaila the stipler was dealing with. So he writes, he says, it's mutter. But the question is, v'hashayla, I skipped a couple lines down, we're still in number 15. V'hashayla nechlekes ashnaim. The shaila has two parts to it. Echot, shem im lo yagid yech shash kedushitos. This could be kedushitos. You could say, I never want to marry a guy with such an ailment. You're not allowed to rip off people. Oino means ripping off people, not giving them the full story. This is Oino. This is called Oino in a Mekach. Or what the Mabit called Gnevas Das in a Mekach. You got to let me know something wrong with my product. If I would sell you a product that was missing something, you'd have to let me know that. I'd get it on a discounted rate, whatever it is. So if you're going to give me a boy that's missing something as essential as that, you need to let him know that. That's just a question of, this is a Chosh Mishpat Shaila. I thought I'm getting a boy that has two functioning, and now only has one. A similar shaila comes up is, let's say, for example, you have a boy or girl with only one kidney. Let's say they donated one. Very reputable. We spoke about that probably months already. If you have to, could you, should you, whatever the case is, but they only have one. Do you have to let them know that before the shidduchim come down? Okay, that's not as extreme as a testicle because we'll see for peruvu issues. But that's very important because that could one day lead to kidney issues and dialysis, and that's a very difficult way to live a life. So you have to disclose that. These are some of the shailas that are going to come out from the stipler's idea. So what does the stipler answer? So the first part of the stipler is not so much our sugya of kedushitos. He comes out, it's not kedushitos. Okay, fine, not kedushitos. But do you have to disclose this information? So he comes up with a couple of very important svaras that are very negeya to many of the shailas that the Achronim talk about. He writes this, "Ushaila habeis, im mechoyiv akaparim l'idea shalei lahoynes esem shudachas." You can't fool the other side. You're now allowed to trick people in business dealings. If there's something flawed, if you're selling someone a cell phone and it can't receive emails, you have to let them know that. That's a flaw in the product. Even if it's a mum that doesn't undo it, doesn't undo the sale. So it comes along the stipend with this unbelievable chiddush. And we'll see if it's how accepted it is in the Paiskim, the following svar. He says, you don't say such a svara, oino, mekach umemka, mekach tois, that's gnevas das is by products, not by humans. What's the difference? So he says like this. Betaminir, delgabi lekeh chefetz, eno lekeh rotz davka chefetz, oichati chazu. I don't really need this specific piece of meat, this specific phone. I want a phone that works with these perks that this phone has. Shari loy ichbas loy ba'acheres ki yitzibo. I feel like I got gypped. Because why did you give me this one? I could have got the same one. I don't need this one more than that one. So therefore, if you gave me the one that has a problem, I want the one that has no problems. That's object, says the stipend. Shidduchim aren't so easy to come across. And they both parties want to get married. They're thrilled. You don't just stam get married. That there's what they call today chemistry. There's a reason for why these two people want to get married. So now you're going to throw that all away because of this problem, says the stipend? No. Stam reyasa sheyesh behem. If there's stam a problem, loy chashiv mum levatel kedushin. Elam kein hu mum gomer. Now I would have thought, well, missing a testicle is a mum gomer, but the stipend thinks not. Elam hu mum gomer asher yadu shemach masor loy misratzim shemayfin. Means it has to be such a severe mum that if I would have known from the get go, I would definitely not want it. The stipend thinks 9 out of 10 times these things are petty, and you were willing to overlook them. So then why bring them up in the first place? That's the stipend's argument. Okay? And he has another riot to this. He quotes a Gemara, number 17 says a stipler. Why is it not Mekach Tois? He says, no, that's right. I'll bring you a proof, you don't have to let them know. Now, it sounds like it's a stipler. You never have to let them know. You never tell the girl or her family this situation. Not just before the Shidduch, never let them know. What's his right from Gemara Yevamis? Gemara says, Yevamis, we hold that if a guy lives with a Jewish girl and they have a baby, that baby's a regular Jewish baby. That baby can marry any Jewish man or vice versa that he wants. People were makbid. So whenever a baby that was born from a non-Jewish father and a Jewish mother wanted to know what to do for Shidduchim, so Rabbi Yehuda used to tell him, go to a place where they don't know you. So says the stipler, why does that help? So the stipler says, Pirish, Leich Mokim Shal Yekirecha. V'sa Bas Yisrael, Shal Yekirecha, Le'inolach. So he says like this, go to a place where they don't know your background. And they don't know your background, it can work. So says the stipler, what do you mean? V'chiyos L'kam D'Rav Amal Gila Yisrael Bas Menach L'Amikir Le'inolach Yishuk Neymar. U'mikom Mokim Etiru L'Linas V'mokim Shem Akiyun Yisrael. What do you mean? You have to let them know. Freck the stipler, what do you mean? None of the community knows that I come from a checkered past. But I should have to let them know. Als Gnevas Das. Says the stipler, what do you see from the Gemara? You don't have to let them know. Says the stipler, what do you see from over here? That what they don't know doesn't hurt them. Alma, the chiyagavnu shu kosher, as long as you're a kosher. Okay, we're not talking about you have psulim in your yichus. You're a kosher. Api da devetayre ena mechoyv lahagit pigamoy. That's what it sounds like from the stipler. Now, he did right before. However, if it's something that's a deal breaker, that you do have to let them know. So what's a deal breaker? So then the stipler clarifies one more time. He says, number 18. Why is it gnevas das? It happens to be a very long piece of stipler. I tried to chop it up and make it as short as possible. He says like this, same svara. He says, He says, but after they get married, no one's going to want to undo it. No one wants to undo the shech because of this, that flaw. So then he writes one more svar. He says, maybe gnevas das only the rabbanan and b'mokim mitzvah we're mekel. Because what's going to happen? All these people will never get shidduchim. If we don't violate gnevas das, they'll never get shidduchim. So therefore, suggest the stipler, you're allowed to bend the truth or violate gnevas das, b'mokim tzarech mitzvah. Now, this is all fine and dandy, but look at the end of the stipler.
But what if they ask you straight out, they heard something?
So that's a shail of midvah, that's a shail of sheker, not a shail of gnevas das. Right, here we're talking about gnevas das. So sheker is a separate problem we'll have to deal with. But this is all the best part. Kol simin ze nichtav rak lahoyer ubuloy ion harui. I didn't really look into it well enough. Ve'ineni oimel ha'loch la maisa. But you can't take this ha'loch la maisa. Okay, so nice, you know, that's very nice for us, but we can't take this to the bank. It doesn't help us. The stipler is saying you can't take this to the bank and say, well, if this is the shaila, I'm going to use it. Now, besides for the fact that the stipler himself didn't think it's an acceptable heter, Rabbi Yashiv disagreed adamantly on this stipler. Says Rabbi Yashiv, nothing doing. He says the raya that the stipler brought is so flawed. What was the raya the stipler brought? He brought a raya from a Gemara where you have a Jew who's completely 100% kosher. Just people think they're not kosher. So then you can lie. But if you have something that's a real issue, you're allowed to lie for that? Where's the jump? Because the stipler said you have a baby who there's nothing wrong with the baby. But in the world's perception, there's something wrong with the baby. So then the stipler says, what they don't know can't hurt them. That's the Gemara. But you're going to have someone who has a real ailment over here, a real medical serious ailment. And you're going to say, well, what they don't know can't hurt them? Says the stipler, says Rabbi Yashiv. That's a huge jump. So he writes over here in the Chashuk Echemed, he writes that his Shver Rabbi Yashiv thought differently. He wrote, Sheheshiv Labala Kiyos Yaakov, Shein a Raya Migabarim. There's actually no Raya. Because that Gemara over there was talking about a case where it's actually mutter. He says, Alva bin Yanenu, the three lines in the bottom. Shemash on the son, Michon Lahaka, Loy Mishum Shenitchul Gami Tanas Absulum, El Gamaisa Matirim. We bent over backwards to permit this kid to be allowed to marry. It's questionable. If you decide, I don't want to be Samech on all these Rishonim, I want to marry a kid who's 100% Jewish. That's a valid Taina. Rabbi Yashiv disagreed with the stipler. Okay. So the stipler is very questionable how much we can use the stipler for a lot of reasons. Now there's another very famous tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein. In Igris Moshe, Arachayim, Chelik Dalad, Semekofi, Tchaz Mam, is the end, I think, one of the last tshuvas in Chelik Dalad. Rav Moshe was asked the following shayla. A girl wrote to him, and she said, I'm a single girl, and I did things I shouldn't have done. I lived with men I shouldn't have lived with. I misbehaved. And I want to know, what should I do for tshuva? So Rav Moshe tells her what she should do for tshuva. And the next question she asks Rav Moshe is, do I have to let people know this for shidduchim? That was the shayla presented to Rav Moshe. Now, Rav Moshe was discussing not the shatchin. Do I have to let this boy know one day what my past was? That was a shayla presented to Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe writes the following, number 20. He says, Hine, mimichtovcha ani roi sha rotzen shocho liyaz balas tshuva gemur, I see that you really want to do the right thing. Aval amaysa incha yichoy lam bin isayin, it's hard. Afshe shovas ubevid of nekosh baruch hu. Oida, pam dichshaz ba'aveir zu achamur moi, apparently she had trouble getting, staying from, and slipping back to her old ways, and he gives her chizuk and tells her that you nichshal with nida and other things. Okay, so we'll work on it. So he says that, but the tshuva works for you, will work, and you'll get tshuva, you'll clear it up on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ubedavim tzricha at lahagid lahabokh sheyitzalisa oischalish. Do you have to let the boy you want to marry know? So what would we answer to such a question? I don't know. That's a pretty big deal breaker for many. Again, some guys who say, I don't care. I had to check it past also. You had to check it past. I had to check it past. We'll keep our skeletons in the closet and we'll move on. It's possible. Again, you have to know the boy. It could be the boy who will say, I also have my stories, which I don't want you to know, and I don't want to hear your stories. Let's keep it secret. I don't know. So Rav Moshe writes, Vaday atzvichas legalas. It says Rav Moshe, no question. It's got to come out. But here was Rav Moshe's godless. But when does it have to come out? Says Rav Moshe, Aval eincha tzvicha lahagadai biraya. You don't have to tell on the first date. That shouldn't be the first date. As you know, he picks you up from the house, you meet his parents, you know, you meet her parents, and right away you get into the car. Where are we going? Oh, by the way, let me tell you a little bit about myself. So you don't have to do that. He doesn't yet know if he wants to marry you. Because again, unless you're going to marry this girl, it's irrelevant information. It's just knowing bad things about a person. Why do I have to walk around the rest of my life knowing that you have flaws? That's Lashon Hara. I don't have to know that. So if I'm going to marry you, there's a te'elis. And this is where things get sticky. You're going to tell people all your past on the first date. And then there'll never be a second date. Not because of that, because I don't like you. Well, we don't stim, whatever. I don't like your personality, whatever it is. So why do we spill everything so early on in the game? This is the balancing act that we're going to have to try to figure out. Says Rav Moshe, now already, you're already talking about getting married. Now this is already serious. Then you have to tell her, he's a funny svara. Why do you have to let him know? He has to know, you have temptations. You have to know this type of girl. If she's a Baal Taiva, and she sometimes does things she shouldn't do, or she has done things she shouldn't do. But taking this, you have to just be put to rest. Don't worry, she's never going to do it again. And now the boy says, I don't care. You recognize that everything else is great. So the Mishnah says, you have to tell him at some point, but not until it's really negeya for him to know. You don't have to let him know in the beginning. And again, I would add, don't tell the Shadchan. Why does the Shadchan have to know? Not the Shadchan's business. Then Rav Moshe has another and the end of that tshuva, there's another very famous psak. What do you write on the ksuba? This girl is not a basula, she's a ba'ula. What do you write on the ksuba? So Rav Moshe writes, "Bedover ksivas haksuba ein tzarech lahagel l'masad kedushin." You don't even have to tell the masad kedushin that she's not a basula. Ki mi'achas shachos niyachtam al ksuba. The boy knows. And he's willing to give her 200 zuz, even though she only deserves 100. That's the boy's deal. He's willing to give whatever he wants. So there you can do it. Harry Hiskam Lichta Basula, Vishov Lakak Pedo, Mukhoy Biksuvas Basula. Afim Mamzaina Basula, I'm Lahatasa. If she didn't tell him, so then he can say, I didn't sign up for it. But he knows. No problem. Me'acha de Ratzla Schai Biksuvas, no problem. So if it's Dr. Moshe, you can write it on the Ksuba and don't tell anyone otherwise. Regular Ksuba, regular marriage, no one should know the difference. That's Rav Moshe's Psak. Rav Moshe has another tshuva in Ebenezer, he talks about an interesting shayla. He talks about a girl who never got divorced, and she doesn't want to wear a shetel because she doesn't want people to know that she's divorced. It's not good. Guys don't want to date girls that were divorced. So he wants to know, can she go without wearing a shetel? This way, no one will know she's divorced. And at some point, she'll let the boy know when it's far along. By the way, I was divorced. That's a shayla that was asked to Rav Moshe. Fine. So you have one issue. So the issue was two shaylas. A, how do you deal with the issur of gilui roish for a lady who was once married? And secondly, how do you deal with the misleading? So Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva, that was asked such a shayla. Truth today, some of you can get away with it. That's the truth. So Rav Moshe writes. He says, "V'ha'ad n'estapku be'isha tzeira grusha she'ain ritzayna she'yadu shoyis n'nesua she'lechein ritzayna lechaz b'likisa roish v'av she'ain ritzayna lirumas." It's not because she wants to trick people; she just wants to get through the door. This is so often the argument of the shidduchim. I don't want to mislead anyone. I just believe if you get to know me, you would give me you'd overlook. This is the big shaila now with hiring criminals. Would you hire a criminal to work for you? Some people say, "Of course not." Some people say, "Yeah, what do you mean? He did his time. He paid his crime." No. Now I get to know him. I see he's a good guy. Whether or not they should have rights to vote or things like that. So Rav Moshe says, let them get through the door. Today we know this. Today it's law. You have to know it, says Rav Moshe. So what do you do? So Rav Moshe answers the whole shayla. He goes through the whole shayla. He says, because Rav Moshe has another truth. He talks about a divorced lady who can't get a job doing anything else unless she doesn't keep her hair covered. That's another truth Rav Moshe has. So Rav Moshe writes at the end, you're right. He thinks that's a hefsid. That's a big loss. Not getting married. Is not there, right? It's only mitzad das Yehudas. But if it's not negative, let's say, for example, you're going out to eat, then you got to put on your shetel. But Rav Moshe is assuming that this is something you could perhaps keep a secret from the get-go, but at some point you have to let go. However, says Rabbi Gavriel Tzinner on the fourth page, says Rabbi Gavriel Tzinner, even this Rav Moshe, that's because the assumption is the husband wouldn't care all that much. Meaning, it's not a deal-breaker, but let's say it would be something that's a deal-breaker. He'd find out that she's a murderer. Avada, that you have to know from the beginning. That's Rabbi Gavriel Tzinner's chiddush to Rav Moshe's tshuva. What we didn't get to is a shayla which is very negeya. What about if a doctor knows information about a patient? And he's not giving over that information. So today we have laws about it. But the Achronim don't seem to care too much about those laws. And they say, you have to, if there's a Nebuch, a Shaila, and Yaakov Reish has a Shaila where a doctor knows about a certain boy that he has terminal ill, he's not going to live past a year. No one knows. The Kala doesn't know. The Kala's family doesn't know. And Yaakov Reish Paskins, he must tell the woman. You must tell this girl that you're about to marry a guy who's going to die in a year from now. Now that's major, major HIPAA issues. So the Tzitzel says, you have to be matir neder. You made a shvua, you swore that you're not going to reveal it, so you have to be made for your shvua.
You
may lose your license. You're for sure going to lose your license. That's what it means to be Jewish. We can't give up because, so one of the tainas that they presented to Reb Zilberstein was, if we do this, it's going to ruin the entire medical from world of doctors. Says Reb Zilberstein, no, it's not. What do you think? No frum doctor is ever going to become a doctor? No frum patient will ever trust a frum doctor again? That's not true. They won't. It's not true. Because one doctor disclosed such an information, he thinks that's not going to ruin the medical world. But both of Yaakov Breish and Tzitzel Ezer both think it's 100% responsibility of the doctor to disclose information. Tzitzel Ezer talks about a case where the doctor did a physical on her and she has no uterus. Can't have kids. Since it does, you must run and tell the chassan that. No question. Now, these are very heavy shilas. Both medical, halachically, legally, but I'm just letting you know that's their psak. Their psak is, and Zilberstein backs it up as well. If you as a doctor know information that can ruin their life, you are obligated, both morally and halachically, to give over that information. Believe it or not, next week. Next week we'll talk about Tisha B'Av, but the following week we'll get into more nitty-gritty details about this ailment, that ailment, this story, that story. What exactly should you say it? And if you do have to say it, how should you go about saying it?